Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I know what you're thinking. It's not Blue Angels week. It's there's no new Top Gun movie out. I'm not sure what we're doing here. But close. Yesterday, I had a great opportunity to talk with my good friend, retired Captain Greg McWhirter, former two-time boss of the Blue Angels. Not about Blue Angels stuff, but about pilot training stuff, because the Navy has now ended its requirement that you get carrier qualifications before you get your wings. Great article in Task and Purpose about that. Talk with him yesterday on Labor Day, but I wanted to give you a chance to hear that interview from yesterday. Greg McWhirter, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew, good morning.
Feel weird for us doing this when it's not the beach show?
It does a little bit, but it's nice. Always nice to hear your voice.
It's a little different. All right, so the reason I called you is because I saw this article in Task and Purpose, which is a great, great resource. Headline, Navy ends carrier landings as a requirement to earn wings of gold. And that caught my attention. Then I read the article, and the more I read it, the more I just had questions. So as I understand it, in order to get your actual wings, you always, if you're flying a plane that's going to be a strike plane, if I say anything wrong, you correct me. Okay, but if you're flying, you know, like an F-18 or an F-35 or a Growler, you've got to make a carrier landing, and you usually probably make more than just one, but you've got to make a carrier landing as your last checkbox before you get your wings. Is that right historically?
Yes, historically, carrier qualifications are the last wickets that you jump through as a future carrier aviator. Now, it's not just jet pilots. We also have our E-2 and C-2 carrier airborne early warning propeller-driven aircraft, and also our carrier onboard delivery propeller-driven aircraft. They also do carrier qualifications as the last part of their flight training and flight school as well.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for expanding and clarifying. I appreciate that. Yes, the propellers, obviously, they need to be able to land there too. Perfect. Okay, so now the change, and apparently this happened in March, so this has been a couple of months it's been implemented. I'm not sure why we're learning about it now, but okay. They got rid of the requirement to land on a carrier, and there's a lot of factors involved here. But before we get to the why they changed it, when you get that carrier qualification, I'm assuming you didn't just fly out to the carrier, make one landing, and come home. I'm assuming you made several. Is that typical?
Oh, yeah. And there's an incredible buildup. It's like anything else. It's like when you you learn to drive the car. The first thing you do is you go out and you make sure the tires are all inflated and do all that stuff. So there's a buildup before you ever go out to the aircraft carrier. And it's a series of lectures, usually a series of simulators, but also a long list of field carrier landing practices, or FCLPs. You actually practice landing at the carrier before you ever get to the carrier, and it is a weeks-long buildup before you ever fly out over the ocean and see an aircraft carrier for the first time. But yeah, it's a pretty extensive process to get you ready to go.
And for people, again, who don't know, and as always, you just correct me if I say anything wrong, we are all well aware of the, you know, naval outlying fields that are at Whiting, and I know at Corpus mm-hmm. they do the same kind of thing. But when the pilots, you know, you're going through your training for your preliminary and then eventually your advanced, you're also learning, because we have strips of concrete that look like aircraft carriers that are designed to or simulate the idea of landing on an aircraft carrier. And you practice landing on those, lit up in the day, lit up at night, not as lit. I mean, you're it's on land, so it's not wobbling back and forth, and you're not dealing with the winds and all that. But it's designed to give you as much practice in simpler circumstances for the real difficult thing, right?
Yes, exactly. And even, you know, even after you get your wings, every landing you do, you simulate that you're landing on the aircraft carrier. So you fly a visual pattern like you would at the carrier. You land to the left side of the center line where the simulated aircraft carrier landing box is painted, and you use the Fresnel lens, which is the visual landing aid that we use at the aircraft carrier. So every time you come back from a mission, shore-based, you actually practice like you're landing on the aircraft carrier, and you do that in flight school as well. When you're coming back, if you're flying the T-45, or in my day, we flew the T-2C Buckeye, and then the TA-4J Skyhawk, every time we'd come back, we would pretend like we were landing on the aircraft carrier, so that those procedures are kind of burned into your brain. It's a very much a habitual training method that they use.
Muscle memory, and as you know, and as you said, and you know, going through it with your brain multiple times is also a big part of that. The T-45s, for those who don't know, that's the Goshawk. That's what they train on at NES Pensacola. That's the jets, when the jets are flying around in the air with the white and the, God, I always want to say red, orange, whatever, the training jets that you see in the area that are really loud, by the way. That's training typically backseaters, but that's the plane that he's talking about. They also train the front-seaters on that. That's the Navy's two-person training platform. We're talking to Greg McWhorter, retired captain with the Navy and an F-18 pilot. Okay, so the...
Taking a quick look at traffic on the fives, we have Gulf Beach Highway looking good right now. Also Blue Angel from between US 98 and Dog Track Road. Traffic's running a little bit heavy. 9 miles, still accident-free. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Andrew, good morning.
Feel weird for us doing this when it's not the beach show?
It does a little bit, but it's nice. Always nice to hear your voice.
It's a little different.
They will. They will do it once they get to what we call the Fleet Replacement Squadron. We used to call it the RAG, the Replacement Air Group, which is where you actually learn to fly the F-18 or the whatever jet you're going to fly in the fleet off the aircraft carriers. But I think that they have, you know, slid that portion of the training syllabus after. And, you know, it's for most of us who have been doing it for a long time, and you know, through my 25 years as a carrier pilot, and I was a Top Gun instructor for a number of years, you know, we always kind of associated, you know, carrier landings with who we were as naval aviators. Mm-hmm. And it's true to a certain extent, but it's not, you know, I mean, most naval aviators out there are not actually carrier aviators. Between all the helicopter and the maritime pilots and air crew, they never actually land on aircraft carriers like we do in the jet world. But it was something that we always associated when we got our wings. That was kind of the last rites of passage, if you will, before you went onto the fleet.
So that's kind of interesting because, like you say, you know, helicopter pilots don't necessarily do this, but in order to get your wings, you still needed to. Is that because I don't know? Is that true? In order to get your wings, even if
no.
you were going to be a helo pilot?
Yeah, no, you didn't have to do a carrier qualification, like, you know, per se with a tail hook and a resting gear and all that good stuff. I think that they do their own types of small ship or small field landing practice, but it's not a carrier qualification per se.
And not, like you said, not an arresting hook with a cable kind of landing. Okay. And mm-hmm. and I know people are dying to know what you think of this thing, but I want to get all the facts out first because that's what I wanted. I'm dying to know what you think
sure.
of all this. But the last piece of this that I think it's important to understand is my understanding is that the reason the Navy is doing this is a kind of a combination of factors. Factor number one is we have the so-called magic system, the magic carpet system, which is designed. It's like the technology does the landing largely for you, and so it's not as dependent on human skills or, you know, human-only skills. And they're looking to save costs because the T-45 is an aging platform, and they're trying to replace it with a different platform. And if you can replace the T-45 with something that's not quite as robust in the landing gear, then it's going to be a lot cheaper to produce, which will save us money. And the simulators are supposed to be so good. So kind of all three of those factors built in together is what is leading the Navy down this road. Is that the way you understand it? Am I missing anything?
No, I think that is a very good summary.
Okay, so now the question. We've gotten all the facts out, okay? And the Navy's been doing this now for several months. But your thoughts, Greg, you are an expert aviator. You were a long time flying jets onto those gray hulls, onto those gray decks. What do you think about this?
Well, I'm certainly torn. I always want to be one of those people who understands and appreciates the benefits of technology. I really do. And I want to embrace it. When it makes our life easier, or more efficient or safer, I think that's a good thing. And I think that's the case here. Along the same vein, I just want to make sure that we don't lose some of those critical skill sets we've taught to all aviators, but especially naval aviators, and teaching them how to safely, efficiently, and to do it in a repeatable manner safely navigate around the aircraft carrier. And it's one of those things that it's tough to teach later in life. It's almost like when you teach, you teach someone how to water ski when they're in their 30s and 40s. It's always different than when you teach them when they're younger. And so when you teach them some of these basic patterns, like the aircraft landing pattern and how to fly the Fresnel lens or the ball, the meatball, all the way down to touchdown, if you don't teach that early in life, it's much harder to do it later. So I just want to make sure that we're still teaching some of these fundamental skill sets, because at the end of the day, and I know that we tend to think that, you know, landing and taking off is administrative in nature, but we still lose tons of men and women every year in some of those, you know, those mundane everyday tasks like landing on aircraft carriers or taxiing around an aircraft carrier. And so in order to maintain that level of focus, in order to maintain that level of safety, we need to train to it. We need to practice it. It needs to be, once again, one of those skill sets that's really burned into our system. And so I just want to make sure that that's not lost in the move to embrace technology, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it feels like, and if I'm missing something, tell me, but it feels like there's kind of two dimensions of concern. One dimension of concern is the, hey, this is what it means to be a naval aviator. You know, this is our identity. This is our core. This is you're taking away or you're changing something which has been like at the very center of who we are as naval aviators. And, you know, I'm just supposed to pretend like that's not a massive shock to the system. That's kind of one thing, that identity shift. And then the other one is, you know, what is the impact on capability, on readiness, on the ability to handle an emergency or something that's out of the ordinary? Because handling the routine is not really what we're so super worried about. We're worried about the extraordinary circumstance. And honestly, back to that first one about identity, you know, well, you got your wings of gold asterisk, you know, kind of like, you know, we know you passed through the program, but you didn't have to do what we all had to do, and we all had to do it, and that's what makes us, you know, different. So I assume you have talked to other people, and I won't ask you to, you know, name any names, but what's your sense, you know, from the people who have dealt with this? It's been in place for a little while. Is there, I mean, are you comfortable? Do you feel like this is a good trade-off in terms of cost and, you know, the technology? Do you feel like this is a loss of capability that we're having to remediate later? Or I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but I really want to know what you think and what you've heard.
It's interesting, and it is twofold. I think from the first, you know, the idea that naval aviation is all defined by carrier aviation. I mean, I think it's true to a certain extent, but you know, when you talk to my friends and the guys and gals that I flew with for 30 years in the Navy, you know, if you were to remove the carrier landing from naval aviation, we would still be far and away different. And in my opinion, better because of our culture, of the camaraderie, of the mission that we do that is so unique that just to hang our head on the fact that we land on and take off aircraft carriers is solely defines us, I don't think is true. So I just think that that's just something we'll just, you know, get all over and embrace over time. But at the end of the day, we're still doing it. We're just doing it a little bit later in our career. I think from a functional standpoint, to make sure that we don't lose those very, very important skill sets. And I'll give you a couple examples. You know, I think that the chances of the precision landing mode in the F-18 working as advertised most of the time is very, very high. But I would still want the men and women flying those jets to have some of those core skill sets and know how to land on the aircraft carrier without the benefit of that technology. And that's going to come with practice, and that's going to come with some of these basic kind of watered down CQ or carrier qualification evolutions that we've talked about, because I think it's very important to understand that systems fail, not everything goes well, and when you're out in the middle of the ocean and you don't have any other options, you need to have some skill sets that'll back you up. You know, another perfect example is, I mean, the chances of me ending up underwater upside down in the cockpit of an aircraft and having to know how to evacuate that aircraft is really, really slim. Yet we still train to it every 4 years in water survival, where they put us in the Delbert Dunker. The same thing with a lot of these training devices. You know, we no longer box, or you know, we used to have to pair up and box one of our classmates in flight school. We also used to have to run these incredible obstacle courses that were challenging. And we didn't do them because they were fun. We didn't do them because it was kind of a joyous experience. We did it because it was a way to teach us how to handle stress and to teach us how to prepare for something that we didn't want to prepare for.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are a lot of these things that we had done historically in naval aviation that were done not because they were practical, but because they really tested who we are. And to say that we didn't have some attrition due to boxing and obstacle courses and some of the physical feats that we had to do would be false, because we did. I would think that we would want to have the men and women who are out on the pointy of the spear and flying these incredible aircraft, I would want us to test them early on in their training program to figure out, you know, who is built for this and who is not, because it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
And to say that we have never attrited some men and women who they could get through all the training for the carrier, but once they got out of the carrier, the aircraft carrier, they just couldn't do it. And that's okay. Not everyone can do it. But I would certainly much rather know that early on rather than later on when we spent so much money to teach them how to fly the F-18. So I think there's a balance. And I think that as long as the Navy has a plan for ensuring that the fundamentals are there for how to fly the airplane around the visual landing pattern and to do it in a repeatable, safe fashion, I think that's good. But as long as we're also not watering down the process such that we're not testing our young aviators early on in the process.
That's an excellent point.
The fact of the matter is, Andrew, no matter how many young men and women we bring into the program, and they're all fantastic, not all of them are cut out to do what we do.
Yeah, you only know that you're at the right line if there's a few people who don't quite make it over it. Hey, Greg, I got to let you go because we're totally out of time, but just for perspective, how many carrier landings do you have, roughly?
I've got 988 or 89, something like that. So almost 1,000.
Almost 1,000. Okay, so he knows whereof he speaks. That's what I wanted to give you the perspective. Hey, Greg McWhorter, retired captain in the U.S. Navy, former two-time boss of the Blue Angels, and a dear friend who I cherish his input. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, especially on Labor Day, man. Tell your wife I said thank you, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Happy Labor Day to Pensacola. We'll see you guys.
He actually paused his vacation at 6:30 yesterday morning to talk to me on the radio about this. Just, you know, what an amazing guy. Anyway, I wanted you to hear that for yourself. The article by Task and Purpose is up on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. But again, very, very informative, especially because we are the training pipeline start here in Pensacola. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
I-10 and 110 continue to look good. 3 Mile Bridge not showing any signs of delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things people love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, celebrate Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Jazz at Jackson's, celebrating Nat King and Natalie Cole, featuring Ellen Vinson and Jack Zosh, and Fall Harvest at Angelina's. Tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Attention, here's an update on tonight's dinner. It was veal. I repeat, veal. The winner of tonight's Mystery Meat Contest is Jeffrey Corbin, who guessed some kind of beef.
Good morning, 8:29 here on News Radio 92.3. All we ever eat is some kind of beef. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. There's a big mystery announcement scheduled today from the Oval Office. The White House not saying what it is, but we'll find out at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Best announcement pre-sale ever. I mean, he's got everybody talking about it like it's some big thing because he didn't say what it's about.
Yeah.
It's, he's such a showman. He's such a promoter.
He's a marketing genius. He really is. Sunday's earthquake in Afghanistan has killed more than 1,100 people. Some 3,250 people have been reported injured so far. Rescuers are still trying to deal with the rugged terrain there in the country's mountainous east. And Missouri, now the next state to try to add more GOP seats in Congress. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe making that announcement while unveiling a proposed congressional map yesterday.
I still am amazed. I should never be amazed, but I'm still amazed that J.B. Pritzker was out. Oh, we're gonna aggressively gerrymander. And bro, I've seen your map. What more can you do? You've already done it. There's only two Republicans in the state. You know, like, like it's a neutral map except for when I start to interfere.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump delivers an Oval Office address this afternoon with U.S. military ships off the coast of Venezuela to deal with drug cartels. Venezuelan strongman Nicolas Maduro warns his country is super prepared to deal with what he calls regime change threats from the U.S. And this morning, the president posted Chicago as the murder capital of the world. After the weekend, some 50 people shot, at least 7 dead, saying Chicago will be safe again and soon. Progressive Mayor Brandon Johnson vows to protect Chicago humanity, not by crime enforcement, but by limiting police cooperation with the feds. New York Congresswoman Nicole Meliotakis tells Fox.
President Trump is trying to help, and here you have Democrats that are actually refusing his assistance. It is as if they don't care about the public safety of their own
citizens. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a beautiful morning. It is partly cloudy. We've got some blue skies out there, 75 degrees. Of course, we've got our forecast on the way in just a couple of minutes with Brooke Richardson. The Century Town Council discussing the final employment contract for former State Representative Dave Merzin as the new full-time town administrator at tonight's meeting. The 2-year contract would include a $112,000 salary with benefits. It would be funded out of the town budget. Merzin is currently the director of First Place Partners, which represents economic development in both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. The Century Council will meet tonight at 6:30 p.m. Some Escambia County homeowners could be poised to sell their homes to the county due to persistent flooding. Thursday, county commissioners will be voting on a $2 million project to purchase and demolish 7 flood-prone houses on Silverado Court. While some residents are considering that buyout due to safety concerns from the flooding, others aren't sure about its impact on property values. Now, if approved, the county would allocate $500,000. FEMA would cover the remaining $1.5 million, and demolition could begin as soon as next week. An FSU linebacker now in critical condition after being shot last Sunday. Freshman Ethan Pritchard, he was shot in Havana while visiting family members. Head coach Mike Norvell says the team's thoughts and prayers are with him.
I got a chance to be there, you know, last night with him and his dad and family, and grateful, you know, for all the support and medical, you know, support that he was able to receive.
And Norvell had a news conference Monday. Pritchard currently in critical but stable condition. FDLE is now investigating that shooting. Well, a child was hurt after getting bit by a shark in Monroe County. The sheriff's office says an 8-year-old boy was bit in the leg while snorkeling. It was at the Horseshoe Reef off of Key Largo. A dive company helped him get to a marina where he was airlifted to a hospital in Miami. Right now, no update on the boy's condition. Florida State football's big win, proving costly. The ACC has fined FSU $50,000 for not stopping fans from rushing the field after Saturday's win over Alabama. That policy was announced 2 months ago. It's the first time the conference has issued a fine for violating that rule. A second offense would result in a $100,000 fine. And some Escambia County, grocery shopping in Alabama a little bit cheaper. It's due to a reduction in the state sales and use tax on food. That dropped from 3 to 2% yesterday. It follows a similar decrease in 2023. That rate was lowered then from 4 to 3%. The tax cut signed into law by Governor Kay Ivey is projected to save Alabamians over $121 million. It is 8:34, almost 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Travis brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barbary, 477-8782. There is a vehicle crash, US 90 at West Spencerfield Road in Milton. They're saying there's a roadblock there. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries in Pensacola, North W Street at Van Pelt. Also a roadblock, so use caution through that area. Finally, we also had a text on the text line from a listener saying that there is a vehicle crash, Highway 87 in Navarre. That is right near Laredo Street. Says right lane is blocked, so be aware of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 weather with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Just a few passing clouds, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. Nice and lovely weather on Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 87. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping the beautiful sunny weather around on Thursday, high near 89 on Thursday afternoon. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now. Taking a look at your money now. Here at the opening bell, our markets are down today. The Dow's down 526 and three quarter points at 45.1734. S&P down 80 points at 63.79. NASDAQ down 323 points at 21.134.598. Looking at the 10-year bond rate, up a bit, 4.279% today. Gold prices up $30.80. $35.46.80. Silver is up 51 cents at $40.71. And looking at that crypto market, it's mixed. Bitcoin's up $7.10 at $109.939. Ethereum's down $34.39. Solana up $1.42. Dogecoin down a tenth of a cent. XRP up 3 cents today. A top White House trade advisor predicting doom and gloom if the Supreme Court strikes down President Trump's global tariffs. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro said on Sunday that that move would spell the end of the United States. Well, another disappointing summer for movies. The box office gross revenue from the first weekend in May through Labor Day came in at $3.67 billion, down from last year's $3.68 billion. This year did start out strong with the film Sinners and a Minecraft movie, but then fell flat. It's 8:37. Now, our next news is at 9 o'clock, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately. Insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job they said they would. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10. Quality Roofing Solutions will be here to answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
ADX Communications, the family-owned broadcaster behind Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist, is looking for our next great electronics technician. You'll handle the installation, maintenance, and repair of studio and transmitter gear, network systems, and more, keeping our award-winning radio stations sounding their very best. We offer competitive pay, medical, dental, and vision coverage, a 401k with company match, plus paid vacation and holidays. If you have the skills, the drive, and the passion for serving our community, apply now at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX Communications, serving our communities and looking for you. If you love electronics, reach out today. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State take on East Texas A&M on Saturday, September 6th? Tap the app with News Radio 92.3. Just download our News Radio Pensacola app, and Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., tap that app for your chance to win. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready for game day with News Radio 92.3.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Where is your kitchen garbage can? 437-1620, 437-1620. That's it. No build-up, no warm-up, no backstory, no nothing. I just want to know where your kitchen garbage can's at. I have a lot of thoughts about this subject. 437-1620, 437-1620. Frivolous topic of the day, kitchen garbage cans. PJ, you're first, always first. I don't know why I always go to you first or John, but I do. It's my habit. It's my way. I don't change it.
It's okay. I'm not offended.
Who are you?
Now I'm offended.
Edge of our counter in the kitchen area.
Edge of your counter.
Yeah, like if the counter runs out, then there's like an open space.
Oh, I thought you meant on the counter, and no. I'm so confused. No. Okay, so it's
accessible.
Okay, so it's visible. It's exterior. It's open in the room, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a top on it?
Yes, we do.
Is it a step on?
Yeah, you just see a little step on.
Okay, I don't like the step ons. They break too much, but you know. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's a step on, and a little pop top pops up, and then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Meg, 437-1620, where's your kitchen garbage can?
Well, it used to be under the sink.
Bad idea.
But now it's not. It is in a little, I have this little room adjacent to my kitchen that's a little laundry room, and it has a door that closes, so the kitchen garbage can is in there, and I can close it so people don't see it.
So the garbage can is not even in the kitchen for the kitchen.
It's adjacent to, it's right next to the, Andrew, it's you, right next to the you, kitchen.
Do you cook very much?
Sometimes. I used to cook a lot more. Let me put it that way.
I'll say it, so when you used to cook.
Yes.
The trash was in the kitchen.
Yes, under the sink.
Now that you've abandoned the project of cooking.
No.
You don't need a trash can anymore.
No, there's more room in this other little place.
Okay.
Which is lovely because it's out of sight, out of mind. It doesn't smell bad.
So the person who comes to your house and is in the kitchen, as sometimes does happen with the guest,
mm-hmm.
What do they do?
They can see that the garbage can is right there.
They can't. It's not in the kitchen.
Well, it is, but it's right. It's
and
right.
You said
next,
yourself it's to hide it's behind the door so they can't see it.
Only when I'm like, I don't want them to see it. If we're cooking, it's open. Boy, you're making this so complicated.
Normally, a guest will ask, though.
Where's
your garbage?
PJ, thank you so much. Yeah. I feel so supported by you. Sometimes I don't feel very supported in the world. I don't know why I don't feel supported in the world, but occasionally I have a hint.
Remember yesterday when I praised you so lavishly?
Yeah, what happened?
Okay.
Between yesterday and today.
So 437-1620, where's your kitchen garbage
love
can?
Love you, Andrew. Mean it.
I love you too, Meg. Mm-hmm. So strong opinions. I have strong opinions about this.
Really?
My first strong opinion is your idea about forcing your peasant visiting guests to
excuse me
to bow at the throne of knowledge and inquire of you where they should throw things out is a bit much for my taste.
Well, that whole analogy is a bit much for mine.
I think I've done that.
I mean,
every
I don't have. Let
to.
Me just clarify. I don't have peasant friends. I can speak for you. You might have some peasant friends.
Oh, you're
friends.
Too good to have peasant friends now.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes, sir, I am. But my friends, I love you, all my friends who are listening. I have friends who are wonderful people who would say, oh, where can I throw this out, Meg? And I say, oh, right over there.
But why not have a garbage out where it's visible, where nobody has to come, you know, beg for permission to throw things out?
Because
you know?
I don't want to, they don't have to beg for permission. God, they don't have to beg.
I always find it annoying when I have to go.
Can I find the place to throw my
rooting
garbage?
Through somebody's cupboards to find their trash can.
It's just not that hard. It's right there.
Well, this in your case, it is hard.
Very complicated.
But this is more a matter of why I don't put it underneath the sink. Mm-hmm. The under the sink people baffle me.
Please, Andrew, share with us your philosophy on garbage cans.
It's almost like you're mocking the point of this segment.
Really? I don't know where you get that idea.
Two problems with under the sink. Problem number one. Mm-hmm. Three problems. Problem number one.
Well, let's make it four.
Is you can't tell where it's at, and you got to go hunting. Problem number two. Too small. There's not enough space. I mean,
well, how big is your trash can?
Big. I cook for four or five people. Mm-hmm. It's a big trash can. Mm-hmm. And problem number three is valuable real estate underneath the sink for all of the various other things that you need to have that have to go under the sink. And so I'm completely mystified by the under the sink people. I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, look, live your life. It's fine. You know, do whatever Meg says it's okay to do.
Please, text him and tell him why under the sink is perfectly appropriate.
437. Oh, you're so inclusive.
Yes, I am.
Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine.
No, I'm known for that.
No, yeah. I'm not. 437-1620. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, US 90 at Spencer Field Road in Milton. They're saying there was roadblock. Use caution. Also a vehicle crash with injuries, North W Street at Van Pelt. Also a roadblock. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have a business, you have employees, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. You got to manage payroll. You got to manage HR, whatever, all that stuff. You know, the stuff that comes with having employees. It's good problems to have because it means your business is doing well enough that you have to have employees. But, you know, obviously it's not the stuff that most people love to do. You got into your job, whatever your business, you got into it to fix cars or to, you know, fix teeth or to build homes or whatever you do. And then that's the stuff that comes along with it. Well, guess what? You don't have to do it yourself. Torgerson Consulting is there for you for more than 20 years. They've been helping local businesses manage all of this stuff. I know personally, we use them here at News Radio and Cat Country. They're great. We've used them for about 4.5 years, and they have been fantastic. I didn't know. I didn't know that there were better options available for that stuff, and there really is. They take good care of us. They give us good options. Options was an improvement, and customer service, it is just fantastic. So if your business needs some help in this regard, or you want to find out if there's something they can do for you better than what you're doing right now, 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. No obligation to have them come check you out. Look them up online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. All right, back to the question of the day, the frivolous topic that has Meg so agitated, and I love that, which is, where should your kitchen garbage be? Well, I ask where it is, and then I, of course, make fun of the answers. But where should it be? 437-1620. As I say, I have lots of opinions about this as the cook in my family. Mm-hmm. Big, out in the open. I actually don't like the pop top. We have one that's hard to find these days. It's got a... There's like a top that sits on top of the garbage can that you press into. You know, mm-hmm. You push it halfway down, and then
got
it flies back up by... Yeah, a door top. That's right. They're hard to find, that particular kind. And I love
outdated.
This. No, they're fantastic. Oh, my God, it's so functional. I will say this, though. I do have times when I wonder about the civility of my family, my household, because I am the only one in my family capable of putting the trash in and then pressing it down so that it goes inside the container and does not impede the door operation. But that's a separate topic for a different day. 437-1620. Somebody says, in the kitchen by the garage door. Okay. All right, I got you. Somebody says, under the counter, left of the sink, hidden in a drawer until my Great Dane opens the door and takes it out. Yeah, see, the hidden trash, I understand the aesthetic and or smell intent in that, but man, for efficiency. I just don't want to be in and out of the cabinets all day long. Plus, the hidden from the visitors.
Well, you know, the very fortunate people that I've been privileged to know have garbage compactors.
Yeah, not a fan of that either.
Oh, they're great.
Well, because you still got to pull the drawer out. You're talking about the in-drawer ones?
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Because they condense everything. They mush it for you. It's wonderful.
I don't need a mechanism. I don't know. But okay. All right. Fair enough.
Just
I feel you.
Just, you know,
I find this
luxury.
I find this question trashy, but I'm with Meg. It's in the laundry room adjacent to the kitchen.
Thank you.
It's in a pull-out cabinet in the counter. All right. Close enough to the sink and the main chopping area. Got to be able to throw away the scraps. Amen. That's correct. And that can be one of the challenges. And by the way, I actually recognize that people who might have a limited floor space in your kitchen, it's a challenge. You know,
how generous of you.
I feel like there's a tone shift. Didn't mean to wound you so deeply. But, you know, even when we had small kitchens, apartments, things like that, still a standalone. Because we've had this one garbage can in our house for 25 years.
Yeah, that's a whole other question. How often do you switch them out?
The garbage can?
Yes, sir.
Never. Because you can't replace it. You just clean it. Anyway, 437, that's why you have bags.
Not true.
437-1620. Let's see. Under the sink is not good because the trash bins will always be hitting the plumbing pipes. That's also another concern is, you know, bumping, especially with PVC plumbing. Oh, my God, they're so fragile. You don't want to mess around. Clarification on the sink bag holder hangs on. I don't know what this says. The Walmart bag holder is under the sink. The big stainless step-up pop-up lid is in the sunroom adjacent to the kitchen. Go Team Meg. Another vote
Yay,
for you, Meg. There
thank
you go.
You.
okay, gotcha. Oh, they're saying that the under-the-sink bag holder doesn't take up floor space because it's hung instead of on the floor.
Those are nice. I've seen those in condos and things when you go on vacation.
Yeah,
a lot of them
have place
those.
To put the bags.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah,
yeah.
Those are nice.
That's in our pantry, not in the kitchen, not in the under the sink. Let's see. We have trash bags with automatic opening when you. Oh, no, no.
Well, you have
slow,
to...
annoying. You got to wait for the mechanism, and it's like the automatic hand washers at the hotel.
You're talking about the automatic open.
You wave your hand over the sensor, mm-hmm. count to five, and then it open. No, and then the slow closer too. There's no satisfaction in that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have my trash can cannot be in the kitchen. I have a golden retriever who is an awesome dog in many ways, but a kitchen trash can is an irresistible temptation for him. He's smart enough to open the lid and even a kitchen cabinet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the trash can has to be in the laundry. If you have to have like kid safe latches
yes.
on your doors, the trash can has to be in the laundry room behind a closed door. I am sympathetic with Meg. Great show, by the way. Aw.
Oh, thank you.
437-1620. Yeah, you really opened a can of worms today. And you should open the can of worms called composting. Nah.
Mm.
Nah. No, I'm good. I'm good right here.
I do love garbage disposals.
Solid
I will say
waste
that.
Talk is enough. Oh, that's its own. That's a
whole
other
question.
Thing. Yeah. Do you use the? Do you like having a garbage?
Yes.
Which of course you don't have if you have like a septic, you
right,
know, or an
Orico. Right.
But you know, I love being on a regular sewer and having the garbage grinder. All right, 437-1620. That's it. We're done. We settled it.
Did we?
Let's
did we really?
We did. All right. So if you're thinking about buying a home, selling a home, you want a home that's got more space for a garbage can, or it's got an adjacent laundry room that you can put your garbage behind. I don't know whatever the appropriate segue here would be. But buying and selling houses is Christina Leavenworth's business, and she is great at it, genuinely great. You know, when she started doing this, like, gosh, what, 7 years ago, something like that, and I knew her, of course, from news, and I knew her from other stuff, and she got married and started a family, and I think a lot of us who knew her thought what we always thought about, you know, our capable friends who become real estate agents is here's hoping, you know, because a lot of people try it. Oh, my goodness. Talk about success. Like last year, 165 homes. The year before that, 175 homes. You know, that's pretty good for trying it. You know, there's a lot of real estate agents who would like to pop 10 a year. You know, so 165, that's pretty good. But, you know, she and her team just do what's necessary, do what makes sense, follow up, do all the little things, and get the deal done right in the end. And, you know, it's all about listening to your customers and paying attention to what they say and helping them make good decisions, helping them ask better questions so they can really make good decisions and all of that. All of that's true. She just loves talking to folks. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find. A church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pecola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
We Care Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Oh, man, it's so hot. The AC just can't keep up. What do I do?
Trust the Gnome to protect your home. If your AC's in rag order, our HVAC technicians can fix it up and keep your system running at peak performance all year round.
Thanks, Woody.
Whether HVAC, plumbing, or electrical, WeCare has certified technicians ready to handle all your home service needs. Schedule online at WeCareHeatandAir.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
I brought a comb.
What do we need a comb for?
Well, if we get on TV, we want to look good, don't we?
A lot of thinking, Vern.
Thanks.
Two for flinching.
You know, even though that is the biggest hit off of that album, it's my least favorite song on the album, which happens a lot. I find myself loving the other songs on an album a lot. But we are celebrating a day late. Yesterday. Yesterday was 9-01-25.
I like Roundabout.
See? It's not on that album.
I know it's not. But I like... You were saying yes. You like yes.
Oh, that's the best. I know it's not.
Don't let him get away with that.
That was so excellent. That was, oh, I love that.
I got you, PJ.
PJ's got my fall over. PJ's got traffic. I know it's not. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Okay.
It's been, how many times have you filled in for John producing? This is probably about 15 times. Finally, I found the point where I can make PJ snap at
me. You really should be nice to him, you know. He's doing you a favor.
He casts aspersions on his music knowledge.
I know, PJ.
I made him snort. Go on. Oh, if you can do traffic, if you need a minute, I can tread water for you. He can't go on.
He finally snapped. It's your fault,
PJ's
Andrew.
PJ's going to pass out. Oh, my God. All right, so let me do this. While PJ recovers.
Do I need to do traffic?
While PJ recovers, Mike Wiggins is here.
There he is.
Mayor Mike is here, and I owe Mayor Mike an apology.
And why is that?
I said that the Alabama game was going to be a tune-up game for Alabama.
And I'll never forget that.
You'll never forgive me for
because
that.
Because you were so wrong.
Oh, my God. But mm-hmm. I was not the only one.
No. But, no, I understand. I understand.
Man, it was a tune-up game for FSU.
Correct, Amundo.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Wow. It was so fun to
amazing.
Watch.
Well, all right, let's check in with PJ, see if he's breathing right now. PJ, you have traffic on the not
still
quite the
still working
fives?
That vehicle crash with injuries, North W Street at Van Pelt. Still a roadblock in that area, so use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Well done, sir. Well done. All right, so anyway, that's my apology to Mike and all the FSU fans who intentionally besmirched the reputation of the undefeated Florida State Seminoles. who played the you know what eight? Alabama was ranked eighth at the time, right? Beat them handily. All right, if you're going to keep a symbol in your military, and you know, even if you've had it for an awfully long time, it might occasionally be a good idea to at least consider that people may not understand it properly and may wonder why that is the case. The Finnish Air Force, that's Finland, Finnish Air Force, which is now part of NATO, okay, is going to retire a symbol from a handful of their unit flags that still have it. It is a swastika on the unit flags for the Finnish Air Force, which they began using years before the Nazis. In fact, this is one of the things people may not know the history of this, but the swastika is actually, I mean, Native Americans use that, the Indians, like India, the country, and also, you know, Indians here. I mean, and in Finland, they used it long before the Nazis ever came along. Of course, Nazis being who they are kind of, you know, destroyed that symbol for everybody. But they kept it. They had it since 1918 because when they gained their independence after more than a century of Imperial Russian rule, Count Erik von Rosen of Sweden donated Finland's first military plane in 1918. His personal symbol at the time, this is, you know, 20 plus years before the Nazis, was the swastika, and so they've honored him ever since, but they're going to get rid of it.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 9.